Hare Krishna, before I begin the class, today's afternoon class, Sunday feast, Radhanand Maharaj will give. And then tomorrow, at Radha Ras Bihari Temple, in the morning, he is giving the lecture on Ram Navami. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5. Text number 19. This chapter is entitled as Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu. Tata, tata enam gurur jnatva, jnatagneya chatushtaya, daityendram darshayam asa, matram rishtam alankrita. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. After some time, the teachers, Shanda and Amarka, thought that Prahlad Maharaj was sufficiently educated in the diplomatic affairs of pacifying public leaders, appeasing them by giving them lucrative posts, dividing and ruling over them, and punishing them in cases of disobedience. Then one day, after Prahlada's mother had personally washed the boy and dressed him nicely with sufficient ornaments, they presented him before his father. Purport. It is essential for a student who is going to be ruler or king to learn the four diplomatic principles. There is always rivalry between a king and his citizens. Therefore, when a citizen agitates the public against the king, the duty of the king is to call him and try to pacify him with sweet words, saying, "You are very important in state. Why should you disturb the public with some new cause for agitation?" If the citizen is not pacified, the king should then offer him some lucrative post as a governor or a minister, any post that draws high salary, so that he may be agreeable. If the enemy still goes on agitating the public, the king should try to create dissension in the enemy's camp. But if he still continues, the king should employ argumentum ad bachelum, severe punishment, by putting him in jail or placing him before a firing squad. The teachers appointed by Hiranyakashipu taught Prahlad Maharaj how to be a diplomat, so that he could rule over the citizens very nicely. Hare Krishna. So here, Shanda and Amarka, as explained by Maharaj yesterday very beautifully, about their ability to teach students in one of the best schools of Hiranyakashipu in regards to the four principles of diplomacy. And they are about to bring Prahlad Maharaj in the presence of his father. And before that, we read the background. After Prahlad Maharaj, first time, after being educated by the teachers, when he came in front of his father, they brought two sons, Prahlad Maharaj, in front of Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu put his son on his lap and he asked this question. And Prabhupada writes, rather than asking specifically to confuse Prahlad, he asked, "What did you learn?" Because Hiranyakashipu was not expecting any significant answer and not very important answer. But Prahlad Maharaj shook Hiranyakashipu by answering, "Tat sadhu manne asuravarya dehina." So after that answer given by Prahlad Maharaj, Hiranyakashipu simply laughed. He didn't take Prahlad very seriously. Even though the answer was very strong and very powerful, he thought maybe he's still young and he will change. That is why most of the time it happens when devotees become devotees, the parents think he will change. It's a new fad, new fashion. So they don't take it very seriously. But when the child persists practicing devotional service, then the minuscule Hiranyakashipu starts appearing, at least in the beginning. So Hiranyakashipu sent his son back along with Shanda and Amarka. And Shanda Amarka naturally raised this question, who has spoiled your intelligence? How is that you behave otherwise, not like other students? Other students are behaving properly, disciplined. They follow our system of being demon. But you are acting otherwise. You have taken the side of your enemy. And Prabhupada writes, Hiranyakashipu was thinking that Lord Vishnu is our enemy because he killed my brother. If someone's relative is killed by somebody, naturally all the relatives has to become enemy of that person. He becomes an enemy. But here Prahlad, my own son, he is taking the side of my enemy. So Hiranyakashipu was quite wonderstruck how this happened. And therefore they raised this question, who has spoiled your intelligence? And Prahlad Maharaj smiled. He said, before I used to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead's external energy, today I am experiencing. He said, I am experiencing that these two teachers of mine are creating distinction between enemy and friends. Actually, this part of the teachings of Prahlad eventually starts teaching to his friends. And the conclusion of practicing devotional service, according to Prahlad Maharaj, which he preached to his friends, is that one should have the ability to see Krishna in all situations, at all times. Not only in physical things. Like one time one devotee, Upendra Prabhu, when he heard Srila Prabhupada speak about how Krishna is everywhere, he got confused. He was hearing that kind of concept first time. God is everywhere. Usually you hear in the normal course of activities or understanding that God is there in some place beyond the sky. You call it kingdom of God, you call it heaven, or we call it Vaikuntha planet. So the concept of God is everywhere is very confusing. Or if you have the concept of God is everywhere, then there is no God. He is nirakar. He is formless because he is spread everywhere. So either way people are confused. If you believe God is in one place, he can't be everywhere. If you believe God is everywhere, you can't conceive God to be a person. So this devotee asked Prabhupada, how do I know this form of God? Krishna is here, Krishna is there. What does it do? How does it happen? The Krishna start getting merged when I change my vision from here to there. So here, Prahlad Maharaj is teaching to his friends, eventually he will teach, that how one should be able to see Krishna everywhere in all situations. So therefore Prahlad said, this distinction is caused by your Krishna's illusory energy. And I heard about it, today I am seeing. And he told his teacher, my dear teachers, that these principles of enemy, friends, he said, this is illusion. Actually we are servants of Krishna, we are servants of God. That is the reality. And you are asking, who did this? The same person who has spoiled your intelligence. You are bewildered by Krishna's external energy. That same person has given me that intelligence. Not to see enemy and friends. Rather see everyone equal. Prahlad Maharaj always kept on persisting on this teaching. When his father also asked, that Prahlad, where do you get your strength from? And Prahlad Maharaj again smiled. He said, my dear father, everyone gets that strength from the same source. It is from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are getting your strength from him. I am getting that strength from him. So Prahlad Maharaj had never had that confusion. And he was teaching the teachers also. The student is teaching the teacher, and that is the most insulting for the teacher. If the teacher knows that student knows more than them and something substantial, he is guaranteed to be failed most of the times. To such an extent that Ramanuja's teacher, what was his name? Yadav Prakash, he wanted to kill Ramanuja because he knew something more than Yadav Prakash and he knew something true. Yadav Prakash knew something illusory. And then Prahlad Maharaj gave a very beautiful answer. You are asking, how does it happen? How is that I am being changed? He said, I have no control. Yata Brahmayati Brahman. He said, just like the magnetic force, when the iron files come in contact with the magnetic force, they are forced to be attracted. He said, similarly, my dear teachers, my chitta is naturally attracted to Krishna and I have no control over it. And this is the endeavor we are trying to perform, to be naturally attracted to Krishna. Now our attraction is intellectual one. Our endeavor to be attracted to Krishna has to be a lot of efforts, has to be involved. Just like in Vrindavan, and Prabhupada writes very beautiful purport about Vrindavan. Krishna, why Krishna is this name? He has this name Krishna because that means he is attracting everybody. In Vrindavan, everyone is attracted to Krishna. The waves of Yamuna are attracted by Krishna. The leaves, the trees, the animals, everyone is naturally attracted to Krishna. That is the way of Vrindavan. So, when Prahlad said, I am naturally attracted to Krishna, what can I do? Nobody can stop it. Just like we are naturally attracted to Maya. Natural, you don't have to do anything. Just stay like that and you are attracted to Maya. We have to force ourselves to be attracted by Krishna. Therefore our efforts, the whole efforts of sadhana bhakti is that one day we can achieve that state of being naturally attracted to Krishna. In Vrindavan, like sometime the gopis, when they are milking cows, they are so attracted by Krishna, the thoughts of Krishna are so strong, they do many things wrong. And they want to forget Krishna. Like someone was saying, Narad Muni came to Vrindavan one time, and he saw gopis perform meditation, and he was shocked, what happened to Vrindavan? Gyanmarg. Why they are following Gyanmarg? So he asked, why are you performing meditation? So they said, we are trying to forget Krishna. In our meditation, we are trying to forget Krishna, but it is not possible. It is impossible to forget Krishna. Just see that we try to remember Krishna in our meditation and Krishna does not come. And they try to forget Krishna, but Krishna cannot go away from them. That is real bhakti. And that is our aspiration, to be attracted by Krishna naturally. Previously also Narad Muni explained to Yudhishthira Maharaj, what was the character of Prahlad? Nasta kridana ko balo jadavatan manastaya. He said that Prahlad Maharaj had given up all kinds of sports, all kinds of frivolous activities, and he was just like something is attracted by graha. Krishna graha grahitatma na jagat veda didrisham. He said that Prahlad Maharaj was just like attracted by Krishna graha. Krishna means attraction, graha means attraction. Graha means influence, and Prabhupada writes in the purport, like people are scared of different grahas. Therefore in India, if you go to temples, demigod temples, there will be Navagraha temple also. And people will offer oil, go around saying that you don't influence us. We will offer you some oil. And especially on Saturday, Shani temple people flock because they are scared that Shani will attack them. And if Shani influences them, everything is destroyed. Like in the Puranas it is stated that Ravan was so powerful, he had created staircase of the grahas. Rather than, you know, usually have, if he's such a big king, his staircase should be made of gold. But everywhere gold, then it is monotonous. No variety. So while going to climb on his throne, what he had done, 9 grahas were placed like this. And he would step on their back and climb up on his throne. Just see, that was his power. And Narad Muni came one day. And he said, that is not so insulting. If you really want to insult, place them upside down. Let them see you putting your foot on their chest. He said, that is real insulting. And Ravan liked that idea. He said, yes, that is very good. Now they can't see that I'm insulting them. They are feeling pain, but they don't feel that. So he placed them upside down. And when Shani saw him while putting his foot on his chest, he said that was the beginning of his disaster. Of course, Ravan, when he created trouble to Mother Sita. But this is a Puranic story. So here Prahlad Maharaj was affected by Krishna Graha. Yudhishthira Maharaj is confirming Prahlad Maharaj's understanding that what can I do? What a state. What can I do? I am naturally attracted to Krishna. Nobody has to convince me. Here we have to create seminars. Lectures after lectures. PPT. PowerPoint presentation. Whatever facilities are available in the material world, try to attract Krishna. Hare Krishna Mahamantra in the front. Different pictures of the deities. All over paintings. And still within the paintings we see some mundane thing. And for Prahlad Maharaj, within the mundane thing, he could see Krishna. And when he heard this answer, that I am naturally attracted by Krishna, nobody is forcing me. They are looking. Who preached to you? That is the first thing parents ask. Kisne bigada tere ko? Like when Gaurang Prabhu was preached, the parents knew, who is this Dhruva Thakkar? Why? Because people feel that somebody brainwashed. No, that is the gift of the Lord, that somebody is attracted by Krishna. He has taken to Krishna consciousness. He is developing some attraction for Krishna. So Prahlad Maharaj answered, nobody. It is natural for me. Just like the magnetic force attracts the iron files, similarly I am being attracted by Krishna. And what did it? Bring the stick. This boy is so spoiled, he needs to be corrected by punishing. And now after teaching him, they thought that he is well trained now. He has given up his nonsense and we have taught him these four principles. Even we see, like someone becomes a devotee, starts exhibiting the symptoms of becoming a devotee, carrying a bead bag in his hand. Next thing comes Kantimala. Then he goes back home with a tilak. The parents, what they do? They start telling him, this is not the time to chant. Like one devotee was mentioning that when a young man became a devotee, his father told him, this is not the age for you to chant. And he came to this devotee who preached to him. He said, what is this? This is not the age for my son to take up to spirituality. He should it when he becomes old. And what to speak of taking to spirituality, is thinking of joining now. So this devotee said, okay, no problem. Let him go home and you come to the temple. Because this is the age you should practice devotional service according to your understanding. He said, let my son remain here. He didn't want to take up to Krishna consciousness. So, sama means samjana, or to just give explanation. Very nicely pacifying. You should not be doing. This is not the age. But when that does not work, then try to give daan, charity. Like Giriraj Maharaj always tells the story. His father gave a blank check to Srila Prabhupada. Take this check. In exchange of my son, give my son back. He was trying to bribe Srila Prabhupada. Actually, daana means nothing but bribery. Sanatana Goswami also used this technique in Krishna's service. When he was imprisoned by the Nabab, Sanatana Goswami pacified that jailkeeper, glorifying him, saying that you are such a peer, you are such a great saintly person. I also want to go to Mecca. And along with that, he gave the money also. Daan was also given. So when the daan was given, he became really compassionate to Sanatana Goswami. So this Giriraj Maharaj's father was thinking, if I can pay some money to this Swamiji, he will release my son. He is interested in money. He gave a blank check to Prabhupada. But Giriraj Maharaj was so convinced about Krishna consciousness, he told Prabhupada, take the money also and take me also. He was not convinced by the principle of Dan. He was so dedicated to Srila Prabhupada's mission, he was so convinced, the faith was so strong, he could not be convinced. Giving Dan. And the third principle is the most deadliest principle, Bheda, dividing. When nothing works, Dana doesn't work, Sama doesn't work, Bheda means actually destroying the faith of a person. He has developed some faith, then whichever object or place or philosophy has developed faith, you try to find faults with it. Try to discredit that philosophy, discredit that institution, discredit the teacher, talking ill about him. Once that is done, it's the greatest violence one can do against a practicing devotee, dividing his faith. Once the faith is divided, then he becomes so weak, it's violently destructed. Like recently one young man was coming to the temple and he read something from Manu Samhita. Now Manu Samhita and other books are not supposed to be read if you don't know how to read it. It is not the simply reading skill. You may go through the training of fast reading skill, reading book within 20 minutes rather than reading for 3 hours. That is not the criteria to understand that book. Because the basic principle of Vedic scripture is that any knowledge you receive has to be coming from the spiritual teacher. If you don't receive knowledge from a spiritual master, then your knowledge will cause a destruction of your own faith. The same book. The same book what is supposed to elevate you, if you don't have a teacher and you read yourself, that same book, what it will do? It will destroy your faith. We discussed it. In Russia, the Orthodox people, when they saw that Krishna community is becoming very strong, devotees are about to build a temple, they took the same Bhagavad Gita watches, which inspires us, Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita only, and they read the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, and therein Krishna tells Arjuna, among the demons, I am Prahlad. And they took it around to the government officials. Just see, they are worshipping demon. They are worshipping demon. That is their god. Such an evil. You cannot allow this religion to flourish in our country. Why? Because they are worshipping demon. And that is true. Krishna is saying that. Daityanam Prahladosmi. Among the demons I am Prahlad Maharaj. Now they don't know who is Prahlad, but they only know that Krishna is a demon. And Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. And what to speak of book, something a law book. If someone is not a lawyer and he takes the law book in his hand and he starts to read it, 100% he will be confused. And Manu Samhita has got such a subtle law, apparent reading will cause confusion and destruction of one's faith. And he gave up reading Srimad Bhagavatam, gave up reading the purports of Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, and continuously, non-stop, every day, was reading Manu Samhita. And he divided his faith. To such an extent, he became so much destructive about his own understanding of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, the third principle of Bheda is what destroyed the Vedic culture. The Western philosophers, the Britishers, the Mughal rulers could not, they simply violently attacked. Last principle is Danda, which is very gross. But the subtle principle, the principle of faith, is the principle of lifestyle. Like when one British scholar, when he read the Tukaram Gatha, when he read that book, he said, as long as people follow this book, he said, you cannot convert them. It is not possible. What to speak of converting them? He said, they have got better philosophy than us. But because they are so prejudiced, they wanted that, no, some other they should become Christians. Not because they wanted to offer them something higher, but because I am Christian and therefore you should become Christian. And therefore whatever it takes. And what was the policy they used? Bhed. Bhed means your concepts, your religion has inferior understanding. And therefore, whatever we read in the school, Aryan invasion, is a big hoax. There is nothing like Aryan invasion. But we studied in the school. Aryans came from Greek or some European countries and they chased the Dravidians. And the Dravidians and the Aryans, the South Indians and the North Indians, they keep fighting. The South Indians feel that we are the original Indians and these Aryans came from outside. But Prabhupada explains Aryan in a very simple way in the Bhagavad Gita 2nd chapter. When Arjuna was confused and crying, lamenting, the Lord said, Kutastu akashmalamidam, Anaryam asavargyam, akirtikaram Arjuna. He said, does not befit an Aryan. Who is Aryan? And Prabhupada writes, Anaryan. Anaryan means, who is not Aryan, who is Shudra? He said, one who laments unnecessarily. Kali Yuga is the age to lament without any reason. Devamrita Swami Maharaj was explaining that in Kali Yuga, people have to imagine to suffer. Just see, bhakti is so simple, bhakti is full of enjoyment, but when you are enjoying Krishna consciousness, then you imagine to suffer. And then what to speak of gross suffering, when you engage in sinful activities, there are so much of suffering. And then when there is no suffering also you lament. If you have more, you lament. If you don't have, you lament. That is Shudra. Lamenting unnecessarily, that is the definition given by Srila Prabhupada. He doesn't talk about history. We were listening to one lecture, Prabhupada said, Kurukshetra means there is a railway station Kurukshetra. When the railway station is there as Kurukshetra, and some commentators say Kurukshetra means this body is Kurukshetra. Where does Krishna say like that? Historically, from the British Gazette, we don't see that Kurukshetra is a place, body, it's a railway station. There is a railway station. Therefore, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially Adilila chapter 9 and 10, where it discusses about different associates of Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, just to make it more authentic, he explains, from Calcutta, 40 miles north, there is this place, and there are old temples, and this is the ancestral home of, you know, Gadadhar Das. All details he has given, how many miles, how many kilometers, where is the next station, where is the next big station. Why? Because he doesn't want to give any allegorical understanding. Because the reality is there. Kurukshetra is a reality. So therefore this Bheda Niti is so powerful, it destroys one's faith. Once the faith is destroyed, that because we are not naturally attracted to Krishna, intellectually, logically we are convinced. And if you bring the principle of Bheda, and that violent conflict which is created in the heart, causes weak of one's practice in devotional service. And therefore, more than danda, more than punishing, like in South India, 12,000 Vaishnavas, you go to Ranganath temple, you'll find those depiction in the wall, carved stone carvings. You'll find how the Mughals attacked and destroyed 12,000 Vaishnavas, killed them. But the understanding of these Vaishnavas were, Vaishnavas is that, Nityananda Prabhu was saying, that these Vaishnavas were desperate to go back to Godhead. They were always praying, Krishna, take us back to the spiritual world. So from their point of view, from the Vaishnavas' point of view, it was Krishna who sent his Yavanas, created a violent end of their life. But what was the conclusion of that? The conclusion is that going back to the spiritual world faster than ever they desired. So danda does not create such a fear, but the bheda is the most difficult thing. Therefore, last year when we were in Delhi, Maharaj was giving talk on Mother Ganga, and he connected to Mother Kunti's prayers. Now Kunti is offering her prayers to Krishna when Krishna is about to depart back to Dwarka. And what was her experience being a devotee of the Lord, having such nice sons who are great devotees of the Lord? Pandava's life, if you ever read any history of anybody, compared to the Pandavas, nobody suffered as much as Pandavas suffered. So much they suffered. Usually when somebody goes through some suffering, the tendency is, I'm going through a difficult time, therefore I cannot practice devotional service. Such a contradictory understanding. Pandavas are the example, Narad Muni explains, they were such an example that they went through so much in their life, but they always remained faithful to Krishna. Narad Muni says this. Bhishma Dev says in this prayer. And Kunti, usually when you have some experience about life, then your understanding based upon that experience is different about God. I gave this example. Last year we had gone to take our visa for Slovenia in London. And in their office, the Slovenian embassy, the officer had put up a chart, handwritten chart. And he was saying, "Hey God, I can't take four people. I can't take care of four people. How can I believe that you take care of everybody?" He was talking about his experience of life. He cannot take care of his wife and children. And how can I believe that you take care of everybody? So our faith in God, either disbelief in God or belief in God, is based upon our mundane experience. So stupid. You cannot believe or not believe in God based upon your mundane experience, because Krishna is adokshas. He is beyond his sense perception. If something good happens in your life, like during the Twin Tower crash, some people survived and some people died. Those who survived, it is said that people purchase Bible more, people purchase Quran also. They were purchasing and some people were stopping to read. Why? Because those who experienced death in their family, they blamed God. He is responsible. And those who are protected, they appreciated God. But this is such a weak faith, because things in the material world will keep changing. Those who are protected today will be destroyed tomorrow. And those who are destroyed today will be protected tomorrow. That is the duality of the world. And if your faith is based upon these dual things, I believe in God now, I don't believe in God, I believe in God, I don't believe in God, that is not how you develop your conviction in Krishna. And therefore, Prabhupada writes in the previous purport, Prahlad means Prakrishta Rupena Alhada. One lecture he was mentioning. Prahlada means Prakrishta Rupena Alhada. Naturally one was happy. Why? Because he has natural faith in Krishna. Natural attraction for Krishna. And that is the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj. In all condition, in all situation, in fact, when there were more difficulties, I'll conclude with Kunti. Kunti, when she praised Krishna, Maharaj is mentioning Matir Madhupate Sukritam. She is calling Krishna as Madhupati. Very interesting. You have suffered so much because from the mundane point of view, being connected to Krishna, naturally your understanding of God is that God is very indifferent to you. God is very neutral to you. God is not at all attentive to your suffering. Even though I am a devotee. God is, how is that he can do like this? Rather than calling him Madhupati, you should call him Bitterpati. He is so bitter. But Kunti's conviction in Krishna's understanding never changed. She always was convinced that Krishna is Madhupati, master of all sweetness. And even his wrongdoing, apparently materially wrongdoing, is also beautiful. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada was explaining in one of his lectures, Krishna never discriminate when giving kindness and when he is being cruel also. When Krishna is cruel, again from our point of view, when Krishna is cruel, he does not make discrimination. Sometimes we ask this question, why when this volcano took place or tsunami came, many pious people were also killed? No discrimination. No discrimination. Krishna proves that amongst the cruel people, he is the most cruel. And when he has to be cruel, he does not make discrimination. Pious, impious, everyone is wiped out. But still, in that also, there is absolute good. When Krishna is cruel indiscriminately, there is good in that also. And just like Krishna is cruel indiscriminately, He is also kind indiscriminately. That we never ask. When something good happens by the grace of Krishna, we know in the heart of our heart, I am not qualified to receive this. Many big rich people, when they see their qualification, they realize actually I have nothing. Why I am so big? It's only because of God's grace. They know it in the heart of their heart. So similarly, when something wrong happens, one should also know it is also the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for my good. So very interesting, Prabhupada making a very different point. Krishna is, you cannot object Krishna when he is cruel. Why pious people were killed? No, just like impious person is receiving mercy, Mahaprabhu has spoken, patra apatra na dekhi, na dekhi ta, sthane sthan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is merciful without seeing qualification or no qualification. Indiscriminately is merciful. So Krishna can also become indiscriminately cruel and you cannot object. Not only you cannot object, still you have to say Mati, Madhupatir. You have to say Krishna is the most sweet. And that is bhakti. And that can be said only when you become a naturally devotee of Krishna. And therefore Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is giving the process through which one can become naturally attracted to Krishna without any artificial endeavor. You don't need a circumstantial situation. Only if this is there, then I can be attracted to Krishna. Yes, in our state, we require that. We need a temple. We need paintings everywhere. We need so much of mundane culture, a material culture, to create a favorable situation to be attracted to Krishna. But once we are attracted to Krishna, once you transcend that, then wherever you go, like devotees to Prabhupada in New York, in Bowery, they took in a wrong way. They didn't want him to take for morning walk. And they said, Prabhupada, this is hell. He said, no, this is Vaikuntha. Prabhupada was able to experience Vaikuntha. But if we try to artificially experience Vaikuntha in hell, that is called Sahajaism. Then we perform obnoxious activities. Sahajaism means what? That try to be what you are not. Sometimes people say, God is everywhere, why should I go to the temple? Right. The understanding is right. God is everywhere, there is no need to go to the temple. But do you have the ability to see God everywhere at all times? The philosophy is right, but do you have the ability? It is so cheap to say God is everywhere, but do you practice God being everywhere? You can't. Therefore, you should come to the temple. You come to the temple and see God, even in the form of the Lord. Kaviraj Goswami explains, when Lord Chaitanya saw the Gopal deity, he said, you are not statue. Sakshat Brajendra Nandan. You are not statue, you are actually Krishna. And that's what Prahlad Maharaj's teaching is. Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu, the conflict was Hiranyakashipu could not see Krishna anywhere, including when he came as Narsingadev. He said, what is this, some mystical, some magical, you know, I've never seen such species. He only thought it was one of the species doing his, you know, experiment, a konsa species. But for Prahlad, could see Krishna even in the pillar also. So this conflict of asti, nasti. One devotee was saying, the conflict between there and not there, there and not there, when this conflict became heightened, from that conflict appeared Lord Narsingadev. To prove the words of Prahlad Maharaj. To unprove Hiranyakashipu. Yes, God is everywhere. And even after seeing Krishna there, Hiranyakashipu was not willing to surrender. And therefore Krishna used the next step of destroying Hiranyakashipu. And Prahlad Maharaj continued to remain faithful, seeing Krishna, not seeing Krishna. And when Krishna offered him material benediction, Prahlad Maharaj said, no, I don't want material benediction. I just want your devotional service. So therefore here, the seventh canto, one of the most powerful, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentioned that actual pure devotional service, the whole philosophy from very beginning, Chitraketu Maharaj practiced pure devotional service afterwards, after meeting Narad Muni, going through bad experiences in his life, approached sadhus for material thing. But pure devotional service from very beginning begins in the 7th canto by the character of Prahlad Maharaj. And when someone can practice this, like I heard one story connected to Lord Narasingdev, I'll conclude my class with this story. That it's a true story, happened about 100 years back. There was a Brahmin worshipping Lord, a Sri Vaishnava, very diligently, very faithfully. And this devotee, you know, very traditionalist, very cultured, living in a small town in South India. He had gone out and suddenly it started raining. When it started raining, he wanted some shelter. And he just was running here and there. It was not only rain, it was hailstorm also. And he ran wherever he got the shelter. And the place where he got sheltered was a meat shop. He didn't realize. Only when he went in there, there was a foul smell. And the person was selling the meat was a Yavan. And he kind of joked with this Brahman. He said, "Hey, you want something from my shop? Can I offer you something?" And he said, "What do I need from your shop?" And he looked behind. And he was shocked to see. In his weighing scale, there was a meat. And on the other side, there was a stone. And what was that stone? That was a Narasingh Shila. And he had such a shock. You know, he said, "Give me that stone. Can you give me that stone?" And for this man, he said, "Okay, you want this stone? I can get another stone." And with his wet hand, bloody hand, he picked up Narasingh Shila. And it hurt this Brahmana very much. And he gave it to this Brahman. He took that Shila and he rubbed it to his dhoti and ran in the rains. Came to his home, offered all kinds of abhishek to the Lord and begged forgiveness from Lord Narasingdev. I don't know which Brahman has done like this. I beg forgiveness on behalf of all the Brahman community. Please forgive. And he placed it on his altar. He placed it on his altar and he went to sleep in the night. He was a young Brahman. A family and a child. Wife and a child. And then night he had a dream. The dream was Lord Narasingdev from that Shila appeared. And terrifying. He was Ugra Narasingh. And he said, "Immediately take me back to that same shop." He said, "Take me back. If you don't take me back, I will destroy." Now the direct order is coming from the Lord. That take me back to that shop. If the Lord ever comes to our dream, when we are worshipping, and especially He gives such a dream, "Stop worshipping me." Very good. Krishna is ordering me to stop worshipping. So this Brahmana was told, "Stop immediately, otherwise I will destroy everything." And he said, "I don't care. I will never ever take you to that shop. Whatever happens, I'm not going to take." He said, "Okay." And the Lord disappeared. Bear the consequences. And within 3 months, his son died. Within 3 months, his son died. And the Lord came, "I told you." He said, "You are disobeying my instructions. And this is what happens with you." He said, "Whatever happens." He said, "I am not the responsible to have the son. There are so many people who don't have children. You are the one who gave me the son. And you are the one who is taking back. So what can I do? But I cannot stop worshipping you. And no way I can take you back to that shop. Impossible." He was in fact arguing with the Lord. But not willing to stop worshipping the Lord. That Shaligram Shila. Then next, after 3 months, his wife died. She was finished. And the Lord came again. And it was not that the Lord was testing. He was actually angry with some Brahmanas who did not worship Him properly. And He said, "Look, I'm going to destroy you completely if you don't listen to Me." He said, "No, I'm going to worship you. I'm not going to stop worshipping." All his land, he was doing Vidyadan. He would teach and he would do Annadan. He lost his cows. People took away his land. And the same person who was doing charity, Annadan, he had to beg for his own food. And he became diseased. All his students deserted him, thinking that all his relatives are dead. And we have a relationship with him as spiritual master, and we will also face the same consequences, so better not associate with him. All the students stopped coming to him. He was alone and severely sick. And only one student was, sometime he would come. And he actually, they came to see him when he was about to die. And he said, look, the Shaligram is there. One of you should please take care of it. Don't give back in that shop. They simply ran away from there. He said, you know, we are seeing what's happening with our teacher, and he's still saying that don't give back there. They just left from there. And one of his disciples brought him out of the house and laid him on this, you know, cot. And he was about to quit his body. And then the Lord again came. He said, I told you. He said, now also you can give back. Everything will change for you. He said, no. He could barely speak. And then he told his disciple, keep the shila on my chest. And when I die, you burn the body along with the shila. But I will not give that shila to that shop, that meat shop. I will die like that. And next morning, miraculously, he started regaining his health. And the Lord appeared in the night, in his dream. He said, now my anger is gone. He said, you have conquered me. You have conquered me. Your faith is so strong. Your conviction is so great. Lord, actually, it was not a test. It was beyond a test. Because it is said that Narsingh Shila, Narsingh Shaligram, especially Ugra Narsingh, if you make some mistake, he is in the mood of destruction only. Therefore, we read in the prayers, all the demigods offered prayer, but Lord Narsingh was not pacified. Swayam Lakshmi, Swayam Sri Preshita, even Lakshmi, she couldn't approach Lord Narsingh. He said, I don't want to take any chance. You know, even though I'm his wife, but we don't know what he will do. Because Lord Narsingh, there was one hasta on your head, you are destroyed. Then Brahmaji said, okay, you go ahead. Only Prahlad Maharaj, when he came in front of the Lord, approached the Supreme Lord, the same Lord Narsingdev who ripped off his own father, Prahlad Maharaj's father, was pacified by the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. So Narsingh Shila is historically, and the Pancharatrik Vidhi explains the most difficult Shila to worship. But this devotee, he regained the faith of the Lord. He pacified the Lord. And the Lord gave him back everything. He remarried because he was young. People told him, you are a Brahmana, you need to perform yajna. You marry. He got married. And from her he had 4 children. And he lived for 100 years. But to go through that, he exhibited such a conviction. We can hear this story and understand that this is faith. This was the natural faith for him. That the Lord was ordering not to worship him. Like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, the faith means, we know we are not on that level, we are too far away from that level, we are still on the third level, Bheda. If some people create that Bheda in us, about devotees, about institution, about Krishna conscious philosophy, then that Bheda causes such a conflict. And to regain again what we have logically understood, devotees made us understand about Krishna conscious philosophy. But here, if that faith comes by the grace of the Lord, and therefore you have to pray to Krishna, Prahlad Maharaj, Lord Narsingdev, to give that faith to us. And if that faith comes naturally, then we can also say, just like Prahlad told his teachers, that what can I do? I am naturally attracted. That is the day when we can say that I am naturally attracted to Krishna. Till then, we have to be always on guard, protected. We have to keep on going through the seminars, keep on seeing the PPTs, keep on seeing the movies about Krishna, of course. And keep on hearing about Krishna Katha, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. Keep the Mahamantra paper in the front and chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Any questions or comments?
as Vrishabhanu.
Thank you for a wonderful class. Prabhuji, you mentioned about this Bheda. Now, this when Bheda is, you know, in a very gross form, everybody can understand. Some other philosophy is expounded to you and you become attracted or you become, you deviate. But within the fold of our own ISKCON devotees, supposing somebody tries to shake you off from your sincere path, he wants you to, you know, dilute your philosophy. That is also sort of a Bheda. Can we take it as Bheda? Because that person, by his insincerity, influences your sincerity, and then you don't know, you are caught on a wrong foot. So how does one face this kind of a problem within the fold of our own spirituality?
Yeah, therefore it is like playing, you know, if you are playing with a stronger team, then you become strong. If you are playing with a weaker team, you may win. But what is the point? You don't learn, you don't practice nicely because you are always playing with a weaker team. So similarly it is said that one should always associate with someone who is more advanced than us. Basically three kinds of association. One is the inferior association. Inferior means those who are not so advanced in Krishna consciousness. You don't hear from them, you speak to them. You give them faith. Rather than hearing from them, sometimes it is seen that those who are preachers, those who are in Krishna consciousness, when all the time they hear the difficulties of their younger devotees, they're just coming for a guidance. But you keep on hearing about their difficulties, problems, negative, negative, negative. That also affects your faith. Therefore, those who are in the leadership position, those who are practicing devotional service, they should be diligent in their sadhana to handle the problems of people. They should be able. And how do they will be able to handle it? By having a strong sadhana. Only if you keep on hearing about negativity, about their lack of determination to practice devotional service, their shortcomings, you sometimes start wondering, does Krishna consciousness really works? Because there are so many problems. Many times it has happened. People, those who have heard problems, difficulties, you know, have challenged the regulative principles, challenged the power of devotional service. To such an extent, sometimes people say, oh, you know, it works with Indian devotees very well, but Western devotees doesn't work well. Bhakti, again, is not circumstantial. Bhakti is not meant for Indians. It is not that bhakti is not, bhakti is meant for only Indians and not meant for Westerners. Nowhere in the Shastra it is said. But sometimes people make this comment. That means making bhakti relative truth or supportive truth. Only if these conditions are there, then you can practice devotional service. Based upon what? Their experience of dealing with those who are less in conviction, less in practice. So therefore, hear from them, but you should be able to give something more than what you have heard from them. If you hear 20% negative, there has to be at least 40% of positive given to them. So that we protect ourselves and also give them faith. So that is inferior association. And equal association is that, you know, you hear good things, inspiring things, share inspiring things. Prabhupada explains the Guhyam Akhyati Prachati, not as, I try to read, Guhyam Akhyati Prachati, Prabhupada explains, not as listening to all the difficulties of a devotee who is going through, all their shortcomings, all his problems with four regulative principles. This is not Guhyam Akhyati Prachati. Guhyam Akhyati Prachati means confidentially discussing about Krishna's pastimes. Prabhupada writes like that. That is there, the facility is there, but if that only takes all our time discussing how badly I did. Today also I, you know, had a difficulty. Yeah, I also had a difficulty. Sympathizing with each other. What does it do? Again, that also minimizes our conviction in the process of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, when a friendly talk is there, machitta madgada prana bodhayanta paraspara. You know, helping each other in understanding the higher truths of Krishna conscious philosophy. And then little, we don't overcome problems by talking about problems. We overcome problem by dealing with that problem with a proper solution. Like Indra prayed after Lord Narasingha came. He said, we are so fearful of Hiranyakashipu, fear took over our heart. and Lord disappeared. Indra says like that. Krishna disappeared and fear had conquered our heart. So similarly, if we only discuss about problem, Krishna disappears, then problem occupies our heart. We start worshipping the problem. 24 hours thinking about problem. But that is not Krishna consciousness. Krishna should be positively there in our life. Therefore, machitta madgata prana. And senior association means that a superior devotee buys personal life. Like we were in Rishikesh, you know, Niranjan Maharaj was also there, Shivaram Maharaj was there. It was very nice to see. Usually when you are involved with things, as a manager, as a leader, the tendency is to get things done. Do this, do that, including the sadhana also. Just get things, you just get your 16 rounds done. But to see that, you know, your spiritual master, other sannyasis, are fully absorbed in positive, 100%. Every time they are positive, but you don't see it. You see it sometime as something else other than, oh, they are managing also, oh, they are dealing with this also, they are dealing with that also. But here, you know, you could observe with your gross eyes that strongly performing sadhana bhakti, more than the required quota. Therefore, as one who has taken the responsibilities of people, his sadhana, as much as he is doing, that is not sufficient. He has to increase his sadhana. We are discussing in the brahmachari class, four regulatory principle is a dynamic one. It is not a static one. It has to expand as the years pass. Four regulatory principle is not only no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication. The horizon of four regulatory principle should keep expanding as we progress. For Madhavendra Puri, even to think of taking Krishna Prasad before being offered was a sin. Forget eating meat. That was never a thought. But even this is not offered to Krishna and desiring that I should get some maha. He said, what a condemnable, you know, thought he left. So devotees should expand their horizon of what is meat. Not cooked by devotees, restaurant food. Is a meat for devotees. Prabhupada writes in purport, partying in the restaurant, casually, for a devotee is a dangerous one, except Govinda's restaurant. And our devotee's restaurant where you get good prasad. Huh? So therefore, one has to expand the horizon of four regulatory principle. Then bhakti becomes very dynamic. And that is what those who are senior, those who have taken the responsibilities, have to set an example. And when that is seen by younger devotees, naturally they will overcome that bheda caused by weaker faith devotees and take on the higher path. Therefore, all disturbance usually are created, history of India, is not by those who are subordinates. Subordinates' disturbance is very less one. They don't influence much people. But the disturbance when it is created by a leader, that can shook everything. Therefore, Vidur told Dhritarashtra, give up Duryodhan. Abandon him. Why? Because if Duryodhan stays as a son of a king, then the harm what he can cause is unlimited. And we saw that entire 18 Akshoinya Sanya was destroyed. But if Duryodhan was abandoned and raised by some, you know, Gunda in the forest, how much harm could he cause? He would kill some animals, you know, some tigers and some human beings. But remaining as Duryodhan, the son of Dhritarashtra, the prince, he caused such a damage. So similarly for, you know, these three kinds of association, senior, strong association, friendly, positive Krishna conscious talks, and junior, less hearing their problems, not taking pleasure in the problem. Like we see, nowadays young students when they come, what is their talk? Talks about, you know, how they are affected by lusty desires, attraction, broken friendship. And if a brahmachari sits and hears very attentively, rather than solving the problem, he is also affected. So therefore, rather than hearing all the details, essence is understood, now there is the solution here. To protect myself and to protect you. By hearing your problem, I'm not going to get benefit, neither I can help you, but the solution. Therefore, Maharaj always says, when you have problem, what is the solution? Come up with some solutions also. Because problem is not going to help the problems. Just bringing the problem will only create more problems. But if you have a problem and solutions, then that is beneficial. Therefore, yes, that in every level, Veda can be created. On the superior level, on the middle level, and on the inferior level. So therefore, on all the level, on inferior, middle, and superior level, one should see that one creates that tangible, substantial, positive faith, which is fostering our Krishna consciousness. Yes. I think we'll stop here. It's late. Grantara Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.